Very thankful tonight for Mr. Gray's kind invitation for me to return to the church here in Enniskillen. It's been 4.5 years since I've been here, a little longer than normal because I did deputation in America first this time, and then returned to Kenya in June to prepare for the group of visitors that were coming out to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Free Church working with the BCFC Church in Kenya and Margaret's 30 years of service for the Lord there. And it was a real joy to fellowship with the group that came out. And it was a good time, not only for we as missionaries, but for the Kenyan church as well. And we thank the Lord for that opportunity. One of our visitors was Mrs. Heather Crow, and she has kindly offered to drive me here tonight, and I have enjoyed fellowship with her, and I do thank her sincerely for that. I'm going to start tonight with the testimony of how I came to know the Lord, and then we'll come to just a small portion in the Word of God and the work that the Lord is enabling me by His grace to do there in the land of Kenya. I was born into a religious family. My parents were brought up in the Methodist Church, but when they were married, neither one of them were saved. And they never heard the gospel in the Methodist Church that they had grown up with. But my mother had a good friend. She was actually a Catholic lady, but she was saved. And shortly after her witness to my mother, she passed away because of cancer. My mother says she thinks that at some time she might have come out of the Catholic Church, but at that time she still was in the Catholic Church. But she did know Christ as her Savior, and she witnessed to my mother, and my mother came to know the Lord. And through my mother's testimony and her excitement over being saved and wanting to hear all that she constantly had Christian radio on with preachers preaching. And so my father got to hear some of that. And it wasn't but probably a year later that he too came to know the Lord. And so I do thank the Lord for the privilege of being reared and nurtured in a Christian family. I had, as a child, a great desire to be good and to get through a day without sinning. And there was one day I thought I had come pretty close. But as you know, that is something we cannot achieve. There is no good in any of us. Christ alone is the one who is without sin. And I had to learn that my righteousness had to come through Him alone and not through anything that I could do. Although I don't remember the exact day of my salvation, I do remember as a child in my bed at night just vividly seeing in my mind Christ on the cross dying and realizing that it was for me and coming to Him for salvation. Growing up, there were many spiritual influences in my life. My parents, of course, took us to Sunday school and church. In the summertime, we would attend VBSs from many of the different churches in the area where we lived. And then my mother started having Bible club for the children in our neighborhood in our home. It started out with different ladies from our church coming in to lead the Bible club sessions, but then my mother began taking them as well. And so for many years, I had all of that influence. And then we also participated in Bible Memory Association. And they put out booklets, and as children, if you could memorize the whole booklet, you could win prizes, and you could go to camp in the summer for free. But once you arrived at camp, your entrance fee was reciting that whole booklet. So the Lord graciously got His word into my mind and into my heart through all of those different influences. And then also, I developed a great love for hymns. And for all of these things, I'm very grateful. And even to this day, as you go through different situations in life, Maybe a children's chorus that you haven't sung in years, a phrase will come to your mind and be just the encouragement that you need for that time, or a verse of scripture that you hadn't thought about in a while. The Holy Spirit can use, and it does prove a great blessing to you. When I was 11 or 12 years of age, our family joined a church in Pennsylvania. And in order to obtain membership, we had to meet with the board of elders and deacons and had to give a personal testimony to our salvation. And as coming up to the teenage years, I was allowed to do this and actually join the church. And the verse that I used at that time came from Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I wish I could say that I continually look to Jesus. But though many times my gaze has wandered away from him, I can say that his gaze has never wandered away from me. And time again, he has brought my focus back on him again, and I do praise him for that. In my later teens, we had moved to Florida at this time, and I can remember being in my room one night and having my private devotions and thinking, there has to be more to the Christian life than what I am experiencing. And Lord, could you please show that to me? And it took a number of years, but the Lord answered that prayer. And he, over time, began to show me. And it was through the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. Heather was asking me tonight on the way over, you know, how I came to be in the Free Presbyterian Church. And I says, well, we kind of had a slow path. We started as Methodists, then we were in Bible churches, and then Independent Fundamental, Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, and then the Lord graciously led us to the Free Church. And through the preaching of Christ and the emphasis on doctrine and separation, the Lord began to teach me more of what it actually is to look unto Jesus, to look unto Christ. The book of Isaiah has often been a blessing in my life. Chapter 54, I would have to say, is one of my favorite chapters. In fact, one of the men in the Lisburn church this morning was quoting a verse out of it, and I said, I know where that verse comes from. And Isaiah speaks of that covenant of peace that shall not be removed, and what a blessing it is to have that assurance of salvation. And at one time when I was struggling with my assurance, the Lord gave me a verse in the 33rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 17, that says, thine eyes shall see the King in his glory. They shall behold the land that is far off. And so time and time again, I just thank the Lord for speaking to my personal need from his word. I'm going to kind of backtrack just a little bit here and tell you a little bit of how I came to the mission field in Kenya. In the Free Church in Orlando, we had two different opportunities to have Margaret Russell come and visit with us and share her work with us. And so after her first visit, I became acquainted with the work, and we began to pray for her, and the ladies in the church got together, and we started making her Sunday school prizes for the Sunday school children in Kenya. Well, on the second time that she came, we agreed to do this again, and we started our sewing project up again, and in communicating back and forth with Margaret and arranging to mail the package to her, one of her emails came back to me, and she said, well, why don't you just come visit and bring the items with you? And I had never thought of that before, but the Lord used that as a seed in my mind and in my heart that he would develop in just a couple years past that. I did mail that package to her. I didn't go at that time, but it was just a couple years later that the Lord led me to visit. In the summer of 2004, I spent 4 weeks with Margaret visiting the work there. And it was a rich time of blessing. And I went back to Orlando very excited about all that I had seen and heard and done. And if you knew me in the past, I was someone that would not say two words in front of anyone. And the Wednesday night that I had to report to the church, it's just the words flowed out just because I was so thrilled with all that I had seen. But then it wasn't but a year later, the Lord began dealing with my heart again and telling me he wanted me to go back and work with Margaret and the team there. And just door after door was opened, and the Lord just supplied every need. And May of 2006, I arrived in Kenya. And I can say it hasn't been easy. There have been many difficulties, many challenges, many disappointments and discouragements. But I can say the Lord has remained faithful through all of it. He has given us many tokens for good, and I will share some of those with you. And his promise indeed has been with us. And he says that my presence will go with thee, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he is such a wonderful Savior to serve. And it's just a joy to be able to be there. The work that I do in Kenya is in three specific ministries. The first one is the music ministry. My work permit for Kenya, enabling me to be there, says that I am a music instructor. And so I do work with the choirs in the Christian Academy and in the churches of BCFC. Before I continue with that, let me just, as I come to the end of my term of service, I like to seek the will of the Lord again for the future, to know that I am still where he wants me to be. And again, it was through reading in the book of Isaiah, this time in chapter 43. And I just want to read a few verses here for you tonight, because I'm going to refer to them again a little bit later here. Isaiah chapter 43, beginning in the first verse. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. The first verses there were such a comforting reminder of the precious love of our Savior for us and his care for us. But then in verse 6, the words that stood out to me were, bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And that is the reason that I am in Kenya for another term, to bring the sons and the daughters of God to Christ. And it is through three specific ministries in the Word of God that I'm working, the music ministry. I'm going to leave some prayer requests with you in these different ministries, and it will help you to know a little bit about what I'm doing. I would ask that you would pray that there would be greater faithfulness in our church choirs. It is not easy to organize the church choirs because there are 22 congregations and I am one person. And I need assistance from the different congregations. And we've had workshops and seminars and training courses, and people have come to them, but they go back to their church and they do nothing. And so I'm praying that the Lord would just give us direction and guidance for the future. There is a gentleman in our Kitale Church, Mr. Francis Asaligwa, and he was directing choirs there back when Mr. Harris was there, and he continues to do so. We're very thankful for his work for the Lord. He takes the 22 churches are divided into three classical sessions, different churches located in different areas of the country. He takes all of the churches in the Kitale area, which includes Kitale, Kitalale, Bekeke, and Moyes Bridge. And so I'm very thankful for his help. I am meeting with the churches that are closer to where I live, and we actually meet at the academy on Tuesday afternoons, and it involves about five or six different churches, and we gather in the afternoon to learn the new hymns. One of the new hymns that I taught just this past year, of course, not in English, it'll be in Swahili for the church choirs, Arise, My Soul, Arise. And I just want to read the words of this hymn for you because there is so much precious doctrine in it. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede, his all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for this our race and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, O forgive, they cry, nor let the ransomed sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one. He cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh and Father, Abba, Father, cry. Now, when we translate into Swahili, sometimes you lose a lot of the power of the English words. But this one has been translated fairly well. And when we got through singing it for the very first time, it just thrilled my heart when two ladies just said, Amen. And that's not something they had ever done before with any of the other hymns that we had learned. But just to know that, you know, music is a real ministry for the Lord. Now, I've mentioned the area that I am in and the Kitale area. There's another area called the Siuli or the Kapunguria area. And currently, we don't have any choirs formally in this area. I have put out invitations for them to contact me, but so far we just haven't gotten anything together. But I would ask you to pray that Sioi would get on board with the choir program as well. Then, too, we will be planning a music seminar workshop for 2014, and that the Lord would give me wisdom in planning this and in each one that would attend, and that from the seminar he would raise up those that would be able to assist in this area. When it comes to the school ministry, I also do some piano lessons as well. I have two students that have been with me for 6 years now, Francis's wife, Ebby, and Nixon, who is in one of our teachers in the academy. And they're getting to where they can start to play out of the hymn book now, which is a real blessing. But my prayer is that they would use their talent for the Lord and not be afraid to play during a church service. Both of them, though, are helping to lead in the choirs, and I'm very thankful for that. Nixon is my assistant for the school choir and is doing an excellent job. Very thankful for him. Also pray as I select new pieces for all of the different choirs that the Lord would guide my decisions into what he would have me to do. Then there is the possibility of recording our adult choir as maybe an encouragement for the choir and also to provide even just good Christian music that they can buy in Swahili. Now, most of the Swahili music is all the happy, clappy, dancey music, and to get just good Christian music sung in the Swahili language, there isn't any there, but it would be wonderful if the BCFC choirs could produce something like that. The school choirs have done that in the past, and we're probably looking to doing that again in the future as well. So that is the music end of my ministry. Then there's the bookshop ministry. I help in both our large Kitale bookshop and the smaller Makatano one, just a couple of days a week. But some of our needs right now are premises. We do have premises at the moment, and they're both in very good locations. However, in Kitale, our building is not in good repair. We have had a lot of damage with leaking roofs, and it gets patched up but not fixed completely. Another issue is the owner of the building is considering retirement and thinking about selling, and our question is, do we want to buy? Do we want to find a different premise? But do pray with us that the Lord would give us guidance concerning this. In Makatano, the main issue is we're just really literally a hole in the wall. We're very, very small, and we have a lot more that we would be able to display if we had a larger area. So there is a new building going up in Makatano, and there's a possibility that we might be able to get a place in it, but do pray that the Lord would guide us in that. Again, sufficient day-to-day funds for running the bookshops. It seems like we come to time to pay the rent, and I ask Stephen, how much money do we have? And it's not nearly enough. But the Lord has continued to supply the need, and we've never been late on our payment. And we thank the Lord for this. And we do thank all of you who donate used Bibles and books for the bookshop. You don't know what a blessing they are to the people there. Those that couldn't afford to buy a new book can come in and pay 100 or 200 shillings for a used book, which is like a pound or two. And so we have regular customers that come in all the time. Are you having a new shipment soon? Or do you have new materials? And we're supplying to a lot of the different pastors in the area. And they may not be part of BCFC, but they're getting good Reformed books and literature, and so we're very thankful for that. One thing that Kenya has done recently, it has added VAT, which is the value-added tax, to books now. It didn't have it before. So that means, excuse me, our prices have to go up because what we're paying has gone up. So do pray that the books would still be available and affordable to the people there in Kenya. Another issue is new outreach areas. We're praying that the Lord would guide us. There's two areas that we have upon our minds and hearts at the moment. One is the town of Kakamega. Kakamega is about 2 hours from Kitale, going south towards Lake Victoria. We do have a church close to that area. It's about 40 minutes outside of the town. Jillian lives in Kakamega. It's a university town. It's a government town. But there isn't, to our knowledge, a bookshop, a Christian bookshop with the materials there. And we're asking for the Lord to direct us to the location. And then another difficulty would be staff for the bookshop. The people in the church that is there, it would be too difficult for them to have to come in to work in that bookshop every day. So we would need someone that could actually live in town and be able to run that. And we're also, as far as the BCSC church is concerned, looking to start a church in the town itself proper as well, in the leading of the Lord. The other area is north of us, about 4 or 5 hours, going up towards Sudan. It's the Lodwar area. It's a different tribal area. We're in the West Pequot area. This is the Turkana tribe area. It's more deserty up there, a lot hotter. But the main problem in getting there isn't the distance. It's the safety and the condition of the roads. And Kenya is working on the road system right now. Although I read recently that they have run out of funds and they're putting things on hold for the moment. So I don't know when that road will be completed. The Patterson's boys were there in August, and they did go to Lodwar. And when they got back, I said, well, how's the road coming along? And they said, well, we were off-road more than we were on-road. So it'll be a little while yet before we would be able to do that. But as soon as the Lord opens that door, we would like to take the Land Cruiser up, filled with books and a table that we can just set up in the market and make these things available to the people there. It's not just something, an idea that came to us. There are actually people that come to us from that area. They travel down that 4 or 5 hours to come into our bookshop to buy our books and Bibles. So just ask that you would pray for that. The third area is the teaching ministry. Now, normally on a Sunday night, I'm with the high school students and the academy, and it's one of my favorite times of the week. Supper time, I usually have supper with them, which is ugali and cabbage. And then they gather around the keyboard and we start singing. And then around 7 o'clock, we begin our time of devotion. And it's been a real challenge to me to find something that would just speak to where they are. we have a lot of young people that, as you look out at them, you can see they have shut you off. They would rather be anywhere else than in devotions. You know, here we are again. We have to sit through this again. But, you know, the Lord promises that His word will not return void. And so I just would ask that you would pray with me, that the Lord would just guide me to the things that I bring before these people, these young people in particular. We do give much thanks to the Lord for a number of our young people, especially young ladies who have come to Christ in recent days. And we pray that many more will even come to Him in the days to follow. Another thing is how to apply the Word of God to the situations that they are in. So I do ask that you would pray for me. And then, too, that we would know every time we come to present the Word, that we would know the presence and the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we would see signs following. We would also pray that those that know the Lord would grow spiritually in their personal life and also in their service to the Lord. They would see that not only should they receive from the Lord, but they should give back because of what they have received. And of course, as always, that the lost would be saved. Amen. One thing, if we return back to just Isaiah 43, two times in that chapter, verse 10 and verse 12, he makes the statement, "Ye are my witnesses. Ye have experienced my grace in your own heart and life, and therefore go and tell others." And then he gives in verse 13 the promise, "I will work, and who shall let it or who shall hinder it?" And we're just very thankful for the promises of God. But as we come and we see some of the difficulties and the discouragements and the disappointments, we think people are going on well with the Lord, and then we see them falling into gross sins and your hearts are just grieved. There are those tokens for good. And in verse 21, he says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." And in finishing tonight, I just want to leave with you a couple of people as I was considering those that showed forth the praise of the Lord. And in what particular area they are showing praise. One is a young man. His name is Jonah. Jonah grew up in BCFC, and then he went to Nairobi for university and got very strongly involved in a Pentecostal church and came home speaking in tongues and relying much on emotion and spreading that amongst the other young people. And in meeting with him one day, I gave him some materials on speaking in tongues and asked him if he would just read the materials and, you know, just pray about it. And he said he would do that. He's a very gracious young man. But, you know, as time went on, you saw him still kind of the way he was. And then he came to visit me one day. And he wanted money to start up a business. And I said, "Well, Jonah, have you sought the Lord's will regarding this?" And he said, "No. What do I need to seek the Lord's will about a business?" And I said, "Well, in all that we do, we need to seek the will of the Lord." And I said, if I'm giving you something and it's not the Lord's will for you, I'm harming you." And not that we're there to support businesses, we're not, and we don't. A lot of the Kenyan people see us as an income source for them. And sometimes it's very difficult to know, you know, what to do, when to do it. But I just left those few words with him, and I didn't really, you know, think a whole lot more about it. From time to time, would pray for him. But after the service, when the visitors were with us at the academy, he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And he says, "Do you remember what you said to me when I came to visit you?" And at that time, I really couldn't remember a whole lot of what I said. And he was bringing it to my mind again. And I said, "Oh, yes." And he says, "You know what? The Lord has been teaching me that I have been wrong in so many areas. And to hear a Kenyan man admit that he was wrong is an amazing thing." You never admit defeat. You never admit wrong. You just kind of brush it away. So it was like, I couldn't believe he said that. And it just brought such joy to my heart to see that the Lord was working in this young man. And I said, "He shows forth the praise of the Lord because he is growing in grace and knowledge." And I thank the Lord for that. And I pray that he will use that young man as a ministry to the others there in BCFC. And then a couple of ladies that show forth the praise of the Lord because they exhibit peace in sorrow. These are both ladies in our Kitale Church. Sarah recently lost her husband to cancer. It was a year of a real struggle. Her husband knew and loved the Lord, which was a real blessing. But now she is left without a provider for the family. Things are difficult. When people in Kenya bury, they go to the homestead and they bury there. Now, the homestead wasn't in Kitale. It was quite a distance away. And a number of the people from the church were going with her for that. Well, when she got to the homestead, the family members there met them with pangas, which are the long knives, and were not going to let them bury him there. They were angry because of their Christian stand and a lot of just different issues there. And they actually had to call the chief from the area to settle it so that they could bury Hudson there in the family plot. And it was just a really, not only had she lost her husband, that she had this other major trial. And yet, through it all, to see the peace of God reigning in her life. And another lady in the same church, just the week before, her son had grown up in BCFC through Sunday school and teens, and then going out into the world, got caught up in drugs and alcohol, the wrong crowd, very, very far from the Lord. And because of how he had abused his body, he went out into a lost eternity. And so here is a mother grieving for a son who is not in heaven. And yet to see the peace of God in her heart and life as well. I attended the service in Kitale, church service, just the Sunday after all of that had happened. And both ladies were in the service. And they both stood up and just gave a testimony to how wonderful the Lord is. And it was just such a sense of peace in that service and joy. And it was a real blessing to my own heart. And I needed that encouragement. Then there's joy in suffering. And we have a lady you've probably remember praying for her. A couple of years ago, her leg was amputated. She has diabetes, and they couldn't heal the abscess on her foot, and they had to amputate it. Well, just 2 months ago, they had to amputate her other leg. And here she is with no way to get around, and she would live in one of we think of Kenya as being poor, but one of the even greater poverty areas in Kenya. And yet, every time you see Rosemary, all you see is the joy of the Lord on her face. You never hear her complaining about her problems. She's interested in you, and it's just an amazing thing to see that. And she's a real testimony to her family, and a lot of her family members are not saved. But to see her just enduring all of her tribulations with such a joy surely does show forth the praise of the Lord. And then another young couple, married, looking forward to the birth of their first child. And then suddenly the mother getting very ill with high blood pressure, and they were not able to save the child. They almost lost the mother. And just the real grief that they felt, and yet to see them rejoicing in the midst of their grief, going on with God, continuing faithful in the service for God. The mother teaches Sunday school children, and to see her teach is amazing. She's the children in Kenya do not sit very still. So she's teaching them and going and grabbing one and bringing him back, and she continues to teach and grabs another one and brings him back. And very excited in her presentation of the Word of God. And the children love her. And here God has not allowed her to have her own child at this point, but he has given her many little ones, and she rejoices in that. So I just want to say thank you, Lord, for these tokens of good amongst these people here. And then just a final example, faithful in service. We have the Reverend Kendigore has been burdened for our youth, and he has just this year started a youth church ministry training course, and it's for our young people who are between high school and getting ready to go to university or college. Sometimes it takes a while for them to get into college after graduating. But we had 8 young people that completed this course this year, 5 young men and 3 young ladies. And I was in America when they started the course, but when I came back to Kenya, they were still going strong. And so on Friday evenings, I had invited them. They had a bit of free time to come over to my home, and we were watching some different films that I thought would be maybe an encouragement to them. And just we showed the film of Sheffy. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's from Bob Jones University, about a preacher and how he got saved and how he became an itinerant evangelist and led many to the Lord, and just the difficulties that he went through and his devotion to the Lord, and to see them just on the edge of their seat just about watching this, and then at the end when he went home to be with the Lord, the tears flowing from their eyes. It was just a real blessing. And then after I arrived here in Northern Ireland, I received an email from one of these young men that was there telling me how he's witnessing to a fellow student in university who is on, has been caught up on drugs and alcohol and different things, and how he has been witnessing to him and asking me to pray for this young man, and just to see that he's taking what he has learned through this course and putting it into practice in his life. And we just pray that the Lord would just continue to give us many more tokens for good from amongst the dear Kenyan people, and that they in turn would be able to reach out to those around us. A lot of times we are a barrier to the people because they don't see us as having all the problems they have, and you know, but when that's their own people talking to them and exhibiting what Christ can do for them, it's a real testimony. So I just want to leave again the words from Isaiah with you tonight. He tells us to bring his sons from far and his daughters from the ends of the earth. And so many times we think, well, what can I do? You know, who am I? And I recently read this quote, and it says, "Earthly princes, when they want ministers, or masters, when they want servants, will be sure to take those who seem the most meritorious and who already possess the qualities and excellencies they require in them. But in calling his servants, God frequently takes the most unsuitable, the most inadequate, and then qualifies them for the work he assigns them, in order to show that the excellency of the power is of himself and not of man. Man needs instruments. God does not. It is true he employs them, but never from weakness, always from wisdom, in grace and kindness. Men depend upon their instruments. God's instruments depend upon him for every purpose and in every work. And the Lord can use each and every one of you if you will just dedicate yourself to him. And you don't have to be anything special. He's the one who's special, and he will enable you for it. I do thank you very sincerely for your interest in the work of God in Kenya, for your prayers, for your support, both financially and just in the area of encouragement. It is a real joy to be with God's people here. Thank you very much.
Let's have a wee word of prayer. We do thank Kathy for coming along tonight and sharing her testimony with us. She was just speaking there about the peace of God. I wonder tonight, as we come to the close of the meeting, have you the peace of God in your heart? Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, but the Lord has spoken to you through our sister's testimony. You realize that you haven't made peace with God. My friend, you can come and accept Christ tonight, and he will give you peace in your heart. He'll take away the pain, and he'll give you joy in your soul. Thank God, true peace and true happiness and true joy is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loves you tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I wonder, will you come and put your trust in him this evening and accept Christ as your Savior? If you'd like to speak to Kathy, I'm sure she'd be only too glad to speak to you, especially about your soul. But don't leave the meeting tonight without Christ. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for our sister Kathy's testimony. And we thank thee for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We thank thee, Lord, for the peace that's found through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy mercies to sinners. And Lord, you've been merciful to us in plucking us as brands from the burning. And we thank thee, Lord, for God's wonderful eternal redemption. And Lord, we pray tonight for those in the meeting that are not saved, Lord, that even through Kathy's testimony tonight, that you would draw them to the Master. We remember what the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus so many years ago, ye must be born again. We thank thee for that day as a young girl that you saved Kathy. We thank thee, Lord, for the way that you've called her and blessed her and used her in her life to this present date. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to use her in the days and years that lie ahead. Bless the work in Kenya. Bless the work especially that she's involved with. And O God, we pray as she works with the young people that you would bless the young people. And O God, that these young people would not only be saved, but that they would give their lives to Christ. And O God, that you would use them in the days that lie ahead in the work in Kenya. We pray for the young people, Lord, that you would call them to be preachers and missionaries and pastors out, Lord, in that vast country, and that there might be many who will come through their witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.